Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. A pre-Thanksgiving version of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, fellas, how we doing, Joe? I can smell the food right now.
Yeah.
We're close. He's
gearing up. Well, I'm doing well, but I've got a... You just told me about this video that I've got to see.
Oh, I will make you
ongoing aware of it. The ongoing question of Mike Vrabel and John Harbaugh and their mutual respect.
There wasn't a whole lot of respect.
So Buck tweeted this out.
Yes, you'll have to watch it.
Who took this video?
I don't know. I think the original tweet came from Andrew Siciliano, but I have no clue where he got it from.
And he told him to go coach. He just keeps saying, go coach.
Go coach. Harbaugh shouting, it's disrespectful.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so and not only does he say go coach, he sort of takes his clipboard and flips it. Like, yeah, go coach. Go coach. When it comes down to it, you know, there's no one in the league, no other coach in the league could take him on, you know?
I'm trying to think of who the closest would be.
I think Mike Tomlin's got to be in.
Yeah, he's
got to
be
right?
in the conversation.
He just seems like a guy who...
I wouldn't mess with Mike Tomlin.
I mean, he's not as big, but he seems pretty tough, you know? There aren't that many candidates out there.
No.
You know, little... I mean, I know, like, Sean McVay is, like, all pumping iron and, like, hanging out in his pool. But
he's 5 foot five.
He'd get thrown around. Little Zach Taylor out there. Little headlock, little swirly for him. Be a lot of... Yeah, it'd be a lot of real quick grapples here.
If we're looking at current and former NFL head coaches, I mean, Tom Cable has to be up there.
Yeah. Who was the guy
former Raiders coach?
San Francisco that just sweat
Jim
a lot.
Jim Tom Sula. Wasn't he one and done?
Yeah, he looked like my high school gym teacher out there.
That's a big dude. I mean, obviously, Mike Singletary was briefly a coach at his yeah. not a great coach, but probably a guy who at the time probably could have kicked everybody's butt in the league.
Vrabel's, I mean, all time he's up there though. He's a big dude.
Yeah. So go coach. That's what he said. Go coach.
Go
so
coach.
So we've seen video of them having a whatever, some kind of a greeting. It wasn't a handshake.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. This was not anyone waving anyone off. They just did a little tap. That's not sufficient for you?
It's not sufficient for me.
You think that means that they were lying after the game?
Go listen to Jim Harbaugh in this video, or John Harbaugh in this video, and then tell me he wasn't still mad after the game.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. It wasn't like, hey, buddy, great game. No, great job for you too. Okay. I mean, obviously it was quick. But what I was told right after the game was Harbaugh denied the handshake. That's not what happened. Vrabel went over there. Vrabel didn't try to shake his hand, right? Vrabel gave him the tap. Good game, right? So they consider that a handshake, I guess. But it's not – when that first video that you got me all riled up about after the game, which was like a
– I'm good at that.
Yeah, which was like not even a real view of the situation, looked like it was actually maybe Vrabel trying to do something and Harbaugh saying, no, that's not what happened.
Hey, this conversation didn't come from me. Romo was talking about it. Blame him.
Was he?
Yeah. Blame him. When in doubt, blame Tony Romo.
I haven't watched the TV
tape
of this yet. I've been watching the coach's tape of this game.
Okay. Ooh, that's fancy.
Well, yeah, it's great. We got the all 22.
Yeah,
watching these blocking schemes on the Henry TD. Pretty impressive stuff.
Do you feel
man.
Like an expert now?
No, but I can see a bunch of dudes who got a bunch of great blocks in that play. I'm sure they had fun talking about that in the film room.
What I really want to see is Joe Rexrode holding up a phone to his computer with the coach's film, and you do like a breakdown of every single block.
Like, you see this here?
Like what you see from Brian Baldinger on Twitter and Jeff Schwartz. I really want to see that from Joe Rexrode.
Sure.
Joe Rule.
I could do that. I could also do something like that with, you know, like how I eat the nachos in the press box. You know, I could give you a detailed form. Breakdown of that.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. And that might be be more up my alley.
This is how you get two chips at one time.
Right.
How about Nashville SC last night? What a game. They go in, they get the upset in Toronto, but man, three goals, three offside calls. I thought that was going to come back to bite them, but they just powered through it, and it was obvious in the second half, and as they got into extra time, they were the better team last night. They totally dominated that game at times.
Like, easily.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely thought, I mean, Mukhtar had some tough moments there.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, he's why they scored the winner in extra time. But, you know, you have enough of those situations, and a lot of times it's like, yeah, see, you're going to dominate, you're going to make these little mistakes and not finish, and then you're going to give up the goal on the other end. But, man, they were, I mean, clearly the better team. That's the number two seed. That's a team that's been to the, you know, to the finals three of four past 4 years. So, I don't know, man. This looks like a legit team that no one wants to play right now.
They do. And I tell you, it was exciting to watch last night, and you just kept waiting for that breakthrough moment. And then when Rios put it in after Mukhtar, just a spectacular play to get the ball past the goaltender, and then Rios comes in and cleans it up. And you could tell, like, they knew at that moment it was over. Defensively, I mean, they were outstanding again. We talked about it yesterday. When you play as well defensively as Nashville SC does, you're going to give yourself a chance. And that's exactly what happened. Now, they possessed the ball a lot more last night than I think people thought they were going to heading into the game. But you play that strong defensively, and they had, I think I can think of one breakdown at least that they were bailed out on by the goalkeeper. But other than that, they're pretty solid defensively once again.
Yeah. And we talked, you know, Jamie Watts yesterday, probably a little bit more of a defensive game. You have to probably think that way when you're playing a team with this kind of talent. But, yeah, again, there were a few moments. I mean, Joe Willis had a couple, you know, good saves, but for the most part, they did not get the kind of opportunities you might have expected. So it's Columbus. So
on
it's
Sunday.
Columbus Sunday, and we don't have a game time yet?
Oh, I think 7 o'clock.
It is.
We do have a game time.
7 o'clock on ESPN and ESPN 94.9.
That's right.
That works out well.
So what a Sunday coming up here locally. You got some Indianapolis Colts, Titans football, and then some Nashville SC playoff soccer that night.
It's quite a day.
It's a loaded day. And you don't have to watch Tennessee football this weekend. This could be as good as it gets.
Wow. And you get to watch Vanderbilt football.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep adding to the list.
It's a great list. Did you see the college football playoff rankings come out yesterday, Joe?
I did.
What was your reaction? The top four, Alabama at number one, Notre Dame number two, Clemson at number three, and then Ohio State at number four. Were you surprised that Clemson was ahead of Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, one thing that I take away from this is that right now, and maybe this doesn't, you know how some things change at the end. Like at the end, of course, they have in other years said, well, the conference championship then makes a, you know, gives a bump to a team. But right now, they are factoring in number of games. I mean, they're making, that matters to them. So that's, I think, part of the reason. You know, obviously, Ohio State hasn't played much. I mean, my big reaction to this is, one, Cincinnati, highest group of five ever. And, I mean, I got to look at them and say, you know, obviously they still need help, but, like, that's, they got a shot here with that initial ranking. And then, meanwhile, BYU sitting there at 14.
Yeah. Behind Iowa State and Oklahoma, both of which are 6-2 in the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've beat FBS teams, what, three that are above 500, and those teams are UTSA, Louisiana Tech, and, you know, Boise State was a game that was a game, if you're BYU, you hope helps you some. I mean, they beat North Alabama, and they played a very weak schedule, you know.
They have.
I'm telling you, BYU, get Cincinnati on the horn, and let's get this done.
How in the world is Indiana at 12? How is Oklahoma ahead of Indiana? Is it just the games played part of it?
Well, that's got to be it, right? I mean, I think in general, at least at first, they have said, let's give some priority to teams that have taken the beating X number of times versus teams that haven't. I mean, it has to be.
But they still put Northwestern at 8.
Well, they're undefeated. They beat Wisconsin, man.
Yeah.
They beat Wisconsin. You know,
But Indiana hung in there with Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. Listen.
It's like they got in the room and just said, yeah, Indiana, let's put you at 12. 12 sounds good.
Yeah, there's never been a week in the history of the college football playoff rankings when anyone could sit here and say, okay, but this is because of this, and this is because of this, right, and here's all your reasons. Well, everyone happy? All right.
I think last night had a lot of intrigue with the rankings because of just the uniqueness of this season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of where were they going to put certain teams, because some teams have played 8 or 9 games and then others have been 3 or 4 or 5.
And this is the, you know, the question for me at the end then, you know, if it, and it may not matter. Like, I mean, if Ohio State's undefeated, it's been established here, right? They're going to be in there. But at the end, does it, if you're comparing a team that has several more games than another team, does that end up actually mattering in the end, or is that just a thing they're doing now? Because we've definitely seen them, like, depart from what they say is important within the same season.
And I'm sure Alabama's looking at this right now like, hey, thanks for putting Ohio State at number 4. That's going to be our reward for finishing first, Ohio State at number 4. Let's see this evolve a little bit.
I'm trying to think, like, and you know, the thing is, see, Ohio State really, to move up from there, they really needed Wisconsin to win over Northwestern and to have that as their, to me. Now, I understand Northwestern's undefeated right now, but like the Wisconsin win could have done some vaulting for them. I don't know that – first of all, I don't know that Northwestern's going to keep this going, and even if they do, I don't know that that's – see, this is where preconceived notions come into this. Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I love the Cats, you know. I called that shot, by the way. Great defense, great story, but that's not going to give them – I don't think the bump that Wisconsin, undefeated Wisconsin, would have.
Porth, were you surprised that your Bearcats were number 7 on the rankings?
Well, when BYU ended up at 14, I was like, all right, Cincinnati's going to be like 11 or 12.
Yeah, so I thought so too.
But I was pretty satisfied with Cincinnati ending up at 7. I wasn't expecting anything more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they still need help, but – They don't have a ridiculous road here, you know, and I agree. I thought they'd be a little lower and be like, okay, just realistically. I mean, like, if they, even though BYU, that's a disappointing thing too, but I'm serious about that game. I mean, like, if there's any way to make it happen, they should try to make it happen. And if you were to win that impressively, you'd put yourself on the doorstep of just needing a little bit of help.
Yeah, and look, like the Florida game, Florida's probably going to take care of itself because they're going to play Alabama at some point, and Florida's playing really well right now, but I would give Alabama the edge there, so that would knock Florida to 2 losses. Probably takes care of Florida. A&M, like, I don't know if they're going to lose another game, so I don't know what happens there if A&M goes 9-1 or 8-1 or whatever the case is going to be, and they don't play in the conference title game. It's hard to get help at that point from A&M.
Yeah, exactly. That's
maybe Tennessee
one
will save Cincinnati. How much confidence we got in
there? There you go.
Zilch.
Put it on the Vols.
Zero confidence.
And then the Vols can try to steal Luke Fickell away.
Absolutely. Got a loaded show for you today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us at 7:30. Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan. He's a Colts reporter in Indianapolis. He joins us at 8 o'clock. Former Colts center Jeff Saturday joining us at 9, and then Predators forward Philip Forsberg will join us at 9:30. Lots to get to today here on Robbie and Rex Road, and when we come back, we'll dive into the Titans. Some moves made yesterday that could impact Sunday's game against Indianapolis. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, you've now seen the video of Vrabel yelling at John Harbaugh. What's your reaction to it?
Yeah. God damn.
Is that the second one today? Already 2 mic fouls.
This is good thing tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Woo!
Yeah. It's pretty funny. You got Harbaugh like, it's disrespectful, and he's like yelling around the pile, and Frey was like, go coach the game, and like waving him away with his clip. It's pretty awesome. So I do want to give Like, I'd like to know who is that. NFL Films, is that the TV crew? Is that like the TV crew, and then somebody snuck away a little video?
I don't know, but whoever it is deserves the Emmy just for that.
So it's a lot of Harbaugh kind of basically complaining that, you know, again, the jumping around on midfield or on the logo was disrespectful. Vrabel just keeps saying go coach to him. good stuff.
Oh, man. The Titans were busy yesterday. They moved punter Brett Kern, cornerback Christian Fulton, and cornerback Ty Smith to the team's designated for return list. Also placed Jayon Brown and left tackle Tyson Brilo on injured reserve, and waived punter Trevor Daniel and defensive back Greg Maben from the team's active roster. So a busy day yesterday, Joe, for the Titans. Is Brett Kern coming back this week? Could we have the punter back in action against the Colts?
Well, don't ask me about people being designated from return and coming back, because I certainly made my share of bad predictions there. But I think that the corresponding move there, which is to waive Daniel from the active roster, makes me kind of think so, right? I mean, I'm reading too much into it. If you waive Trevor Daniel,
don't worry, Ryan Allen's still on the practice squad as the punter.
Yeah. Now, so Ryan Allen's on the practice squad. You know, you've also, like you said, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Like Deshaun Kizer's interesting too.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Deshaun Kizer on the practice squad. I mean, I assume that's you know, giving them some looks they want to get.
Yeah.
Down the road here. So Slam Sloman comes in. Sorry, Giorgio Tavecchio. Even though Robbie Stanley would have made you the starting kicker immediately upon arrival.
I would have. I'll do it now to Sam Sloman.
Now Sam Sloman. It's got to be Sam. I haven't looked at Sam's numbers. How are they? I have no idea.
You know, I couldn't tell you. Maybe I'll look him up a little bit here later in the show. But Guskowski's 3-for-3, so I'm cool with him right now.
Yeah, you're okay with him right now. So, yeah, maybe Brett Kern. I mean, how big would that be this week? I mean, honestly, we joke about, you know, Brett Kern, best player on the team, all that stuff. That could be one big difference from last game to this game with the Colts, having that guy you know is reliable and can put the other team in bad spots.
Think about the game last time if they would have had Brett Kern, how different it could have looked. He's probably not shanking that one.
He's probably not shanking the one. He may get the other one blocked regardless, but probably would have at least tried to hurry.
Is Ryan Allen still on the practice squad?
No, I can't. Get
no, that. I don't.
Oh, no, no. Actually, no.
They removed him and Giorgio.
Oh, they did at the same time. Oh,
good call. Yeah, so Allen's out of the practice squad. So, Ryan Allen, you had your moment of glory, 50 and a half, and you'll always have
get out of here.
But so now Daniel, I assume they're going to plan to sign him to the practice squad. If he clears waivers, they can sign him. But if they're doing that, does that not mean that Brett Kern's punting Sunday?
You would think so.
But I've been wrong before. So it's interesting. Look, they're getting healthier all of a sudden at corner. You know, you have Fulton coming back. Ty Smith, again, we'll see Anadoree Jackson today. Today will be a very key day out on that practice field with who's out there. But all of a sudden, they're getting a bunch of bodies back. Be interested, too, to see, like, when guys come back. Like, where's Breon Borders fit into everything?
I don't know.
I have a feeling he's not just going to go away.
He's not going to go out of business. Borders.
Wow. Oh, I got you. Okay. Yes. Very nice.
Some pre-Thanksgiving dad jokes from Ryan Porth.
You've got the dad jokes, man. A lot of stuff there. But Brett Kern being – and also, you know, with all this – I can tell you a couple things. Well, mainly I can tell you that Quessenberry he's as of now, the plan is for him to stay at left tackle.
And it is Quessenberry.
It is Quessenberry. So yes, nickname Quiz, but name correctly spoken as Quessenberry.
There you go.
Yes. You know, you see his name, and I, of course, always think of Kansas City Royals reliever Dan Quisenberry, who had the submarine delivery. Anybody who doesn't know Dan Quisenberry, you can look it up. Very, very interesting, unique pitcher in Major League Baseball history. Great player, too. So I think of Quisenberry, but this is Quessenberry, and he is staying at left tackle. And so, you know, that's – and I think that makes sense. I just wondered if maybe Kelly would be – worth moving over there if Quessenberry feels significantly better, you know, on the right side than the left side, you know. But I get it. Kelly's Kelly and Nate Davis have a good thing going over there. He's played that all year. He's good there. The backup left tackle, though, is Dennis Kelly.
Yeah.
And then the backup right tackle, I guess, is Isaiah Wilson.
If it's not Isaiah Wilson, we got a big problem. Big. I mean, it's already a problem. But if Isaiah Wilson, like if, God forbid, somebody gets hurt in this game on Sunday and, like, Quisenberry goes down and Dennis Kelly has to move over to left tackle and Isaiah Wilson's not the one coming in at right tackle, we got a gigantic issue at that point.
Yeah, so there's a Morgan Newhouse, is that right? Yeah.
Marshall Newhouse.
Thank you, not Morgan. Marshall Newhouse, you know, would be it's a guy that they're getting into the mix here, but I mean, again, if you're going out and just picking up whoever, and then that person now is ahead of Isaiah Wilson on the depth chart, like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's already a problem, but, like, there's still time this season for Isaiah Wilson to at least solidify himself as a backup who can go in the game in a pinch.
Speaking of draft picks, I'm interested to see where Christian Fulton fits into this when he comes back, whether that's this week against Indy or later on down the road. You've got Desmond King in the slot right now. Breon Borders has been good on the outside. And obviously, when Adoree comes back, he'll be on the outside as well with Butler. Like, where do you think Christian Fulton's going to fit into all this once people are healthy and back in action in the secondary?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, to me, I think Christian Fulton – see, the interesting thing would be, like you said, if you have – you don't have Adoree yet, you have Christian Fulton. Now, then what are you doing? I mean, Christian Fulton has been preparing and mostly playing at the nickel spot. Now they have Desmond King there. I mean, I think Christian Fulton is a two. Now, is it possible that someone could take Border's spot between Fulton or King? Possibly. I think you'd have to really earn that too at this point.
Yeah, and Fulton did play outside at LSU, so he's done it before.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've kind of like tried to prepare him. The idea being, you know, you have Butler and Jackson on the outside, and then you keep him in there and just work him at that position. I mean, the slot really there's more to it mentally, actually, a lot of times than just being on the outside. You know, I mean, there are different things that you got to adjust to, and it can be more complex. Logan Ryan was a guy who was one of their callers too at times pre-snap. I mean, he was a guy who just totally thought out the game and was ahead of the game, things like that. So that's a big difference there. But Desmond King, obviously, that's a pretty handy pickup there, and he seems to be, you know, doing pretty well so far. It seems to be a pretty good pickup so far. So all of a sudden, it's like they have all this depth there, but they still don't have their best cornerback. You know, and what will that look like when they do? I think we definitely know who will be on the outside. Yeah. And I think it's – I mean, from what I've seen from Fulton and King, I think King have a hard time – or Fulton have a hard time surpassing King at this point.
Obviously, we know what happened with Jadeveon Clowney. He's not going to be in there on Sunday against Indy. What do you make of maybe the two best defensive games of the season taking place with Jadeveon Clowney not being out there? Is that just coincidence? What do we make of that between the Ravens and Chicago?
Yeah.
I had a couple people ask about that yesterday.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, I think, you know, the opponent has plays a little part in that.
Certainly with Chicago.
Well, and even the matchup with the Ravens, you know. I mean, I think they kind of match up well with what they do and don't do well. I'd also say Clowney had a heck of a half against the Colts that didn't end up helping them win the game, but you know, you'd rather have him than not have him, but certainly you get some of these young, undrafted guys out there like Roberson and, you know, you get a snap out of Tazar Skipper. But you get some of those guys in there. I mean, hey, look, they're getting this opportunity and they're taking advantage of it. You'd still rather at some point, if you can get them, try to get a little bit of value out of Clowney this year. I mean, we had our list at The Athletic of top 50 free agents. Sheil, our friend of the show, Sheil Kapadia, did that. He had Clowney 14th.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, it's incredible. The guy is just, like, people still look at him and say, oh, we got to have that guy. Got to have him.
Sheil had Jayon Brown at 50.
Yeah.
Who would you rather
have? So we had Jonnu. Anyway, Jonnu 28. I think I can get the list. But
Corey Davis was maybe like 18. Corey was the number one.
Is that right?
Titans player on that list.
Other than Clowney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you rather have right now, Clowney or Jayon Brown?
I'm going Jayon Brown. I'll go ahead and go Jayon Brown. Yeah,
I hope he hasn't played his last game in a Titans uniform.
Yeah.
That thought came across my mind yesterday.
That is possible.
Man, that would be a horrible way to go out with your Titans career. And look, John Robinson, I mean, they're going to have some decisions to make this offseason. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with Corey Davis, but certainly an interesting offseason coming up for the Titans whenever it is that this one is done. When we come back, when you look ahead to Sunday's game against the Colts, who's got to be at their absolute best to give the Titans a chance to win on Sunday? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We will not be here tomorrow, but Friday, Joe, we will be here. Black Friday, there will be a Robbie and Rex Road show, and we're going to look hard and heavy ahead to the Titans and the Colts. And speaking of the Titans and the Colts, an interesting question we've thrown out there. If you could pick one Titan to be at their absolute best on Sunday and have their best game, who would you pick? I think you can go a few different directions with this. Obviously, Derrick Henry at his best, pretty good. Ryan Tannehill at his best, pretty good. If you had to choose one of anybody on the Titans team to be at their absolute best in order for the Titans to beat the Colts on Sunday, who would you choose and why?
You gonna make me answer that question first?
Yeah.
You want
me to answer it?
If you want to answer it, you go answer.
I'll answer it first.
Hey, you answer.
I'm going Tannehill. And it's not like Tannehill. I don't expect Tannehill's best to be, you know, Buffalo game Tannehill or, you know, back earlier in the season when he's got all the protection in the world. Because I think you have to face reality and know that the protection that you want to get for him probably is just not going to be there. So you've got to find different ways to overcome that. What I mean by Tannehill at his best in this game is you can't have what happened a couple weeks ago against the Colts happen again, where you've got Jonnu Smith on a corner out and you miss him. And you've got, you know, players down the field and you feel like the clock is sped up in your head and you just miss on throws. And he did that early on in the Baltimore game too. And it just totally brings the offense to a halt. And then you saw the other side of it later in the game against Baltimore where the throws were there for him and he hit him and the Titans offense just marched right down the field. And now obviously Derrick Henry has a lot to do with that. But I think we've seen enough of Derrick Henry to know you're going to get a pretty consistent effort out of him every week. If Tannehill is hitting the throws that are available to him, which could be, you know, a little bit difficult in this game against the Colts with the amount of pressure they could generate, I think the Titans are going to be in good shape in this game.
Yeah, Tannehill is, you know, I think a lot of times a question like this, the answer of quarterback would be a pretty good one, and I agree. I mean, he's not going to – you have to look at what things we know about the matchup. I agree with you on Henry. I mean, he's going to be Derrick Henry now. The offensive line ahead of him, we'll see. We'll see how they do against that front. It's a totally different – you know, thing. You're going back to like a 4-3, and it's different than what you just faced against the Ravens. And I mean, new guys in there. That's some of that. He's going to be dependent on some of that. But I think of three other guys other than Tannehill. One is I do think of A.J. Brown. You know, if he could have one of those days where one, you know, catches all the opportunities, unlike he did last time against the Colts, but just makes those plays that, for as much as Derrick Henry is the star of this team and the guy, the finisher and all that stuff. I mean, I think A.J. Brown gives this team such a lift, too, when he does some of the stuff he can do on the field. Obviously, the touchdown against the Ravens being a prime example. Now, on the other side of the ball, I think of Jeffrey Simmons. You know, a vintage monster game up front from him, disrupting, stopping the run. I mean, all the things that when he plays great, it helps other people. Like I wouldn't pick like a Landry because to me, like they're not getting to Phillip Rivers much, if at all. He gets it out fast. That offensive line's really good. It's not a game where you can count on getting sacks. But I think of Kevin Byard too. Kevin Byard having one of those games where he gets a pick or two, he gets some big plays, He comes up and is great in the run game. You know, just an all-around big-time safety game from Kevin Byard in this game, I think, would be well-timed for the Titans. He's due for one of those turnovers that changes a game.
Porth, if you had to pick one Titan on Sunday to be at their absolute best, who would it be?
Well, first of all, Joe, I think you just named like eight Titans.
Hey, you call 14 shots a week. I can
call your shot Titan. Guy who puts about 17 of them out there is calling you out for naming more than one Titan.
I named three. Brown,
it felt
Byard,
like eight.
Simmons.
It felt like eight. I'm going to say the entire offensive line.
So he just hammered you for naming three guys, and he just rattled off five.
I purposely did that.
Okay.
Can you name them all, though? That's the question.
Quesenberry, hopefully Saffold, Jones,
hopefully Saffold.
Davis, and Kelly.
That's right. Yeah, that's a big key, that left guard. Or Aaron Brewer, if not.
Brewer played well against Baltimore.
Yeah, he was good.
He did. But keeping Tannehill upright in this game is going to then lend to Robbie's desire of seeing Tannehill have his best game.
There you go.
It's a complimentary game. It's a team game.
Complimentary football.
Complimentary football, yes. Baby.
Let's go to our text line. Play better, coach better, execute better.
That's right. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the borough text in. I think it's Big Jeff. We need to have him collapsing the pocket and making Rivers uncomfortable so he throws some interceptions. I mean, the Titans didn't make Rivers uncomfortable that much in the last game, and you got to know going into it, he's getting that ball out quick. So if Jeffrey Simmons can collapse the pocket immediately right off the jump of the snap, I think that could make Phillip Rivers very uncomfortable because Big Jeff, scary dude.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, you know, any kind of – the way they play, if you're going to get him, usually that interior rush is a big part of it. Obviously, sometimes you get him in third and long, and he's got to have a deeper drop and maybe have a chance, but I agree. Simmons is a big one.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texts in and says, David Quesenberry must be at his best on Sunday.
Okay. Well, hey.
If he is.
Well, hey, that's right. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, he's a very important player. There's no doubt. This is also one of those where if you pick one Titan to have his best game, you know, he's one of those guys that we don't have a great feel for what that is because he hasn't played a lot. You know, obviously, for people who don't know his story, you know, he basically spent 3 years fighting cancer, kind of still on the Texans organization, but, you know, not playing. He hasn't played a lot of football. So he's 30, but he's also actually young in terms of wear and tear, which is kind of interesting. But, yeah, a good game from him, the absolute best you can get from him. I mean, no doubt that's important, protecting Tannehill's blind side.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says the entire linebacking core are going to have to be at their best for the Titans. The last time the Colts running backs killed them in the short passing game, and you can't have that happen again.
That's a great point. And David Long, I think, is the guy who will be in there starting next to Rashawn Evans. Now, first of all, he's still on the reserve COVID list, so that's you can't say that for certain until you see how that all goes. And Will Compton came in and really did a good job in a pinch on Sunday, but I think especially when you think about how much the Colts make your linebackers be in coverage and try to run with their backs, especially Hines, you got to have as much speed as possible. So David Long, that's a tough assignment, you know. And Jayon Brown is really good at that, and he got torched by Hines in this game. So keep that in mind.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, our special teams, we need to flip the field and make the field goals available to us. Obviously a big problem in the last matchup against the Colts.
Okay, now you're saying the entire kicking game. Now that's a lot of players.
It is, but he's not wrong. They were really costing the game last time against the Colts. Can't have that happen again.
The good thing about this is we're going to end up going through every single matchup in this game in one segment.
Yeah.
And talking about every single player.
I was about to say, how about all 45 players that suit up Sunday?
48 even.
48, 48. Whatever. Yeah, 45, 48, whatever.
Don't sell those other three short. Don't sell Isaiah Wilson short. He's one of the 49.
I will absolutely sell the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper short.
Wow. We've seen how important they can be. Very important. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob texts in and says, I'm picking Jeffrey Simmons. I'd rather get the best of him to wreck their whole offensive game plan. Our offense will be all right.
But can Big Jeff get to Phillip Rivers in time to wreak havoc? I mean, that was the thing with Rivers. I mean, Joe, I like it when you go dink, 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 dink.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Rivers that Thursday night. There wasn't enough time for anyone to get to him.
Glad you like those dinks.
Yes.
No, you're right. I mean, it's. I don't think, like, Jeffrey Simmons got to get 4 sacks in this game, you know?
Force crying again. Look at him.
We need this show to be simulcasted. But I think Simmons can still have a huge impact. Yeah, the running game. Are they going to run the ball?
How many position groups have we gone through?
Who have we not talked about?
Firkser.
Yeah, what about Firkser? He better have his best game, darn it. I'll throw another guy out.
Cam Batson, offensive weapon. That guy better have his best game.
Jeremy McNichols better put a hat on a guy when someone's blitzing.
See? We're doing it all. I will say one guy who wasn't there first time, could be there this time, and I think could really make a difference is Humphreys. I mean,
yeah.
Firkser was kind of Tannehill's under duress, quick hit, third down guy, and the Colts were on it. But it's not as easy against Humphreys, you know? I mean, that's an underrated little key. And, again, this would be third game all year.
Yeah.
Those top three would be together for a whole game, if they are, in fact, together for a whole
and
game.
And no disrespect to Firkser, but it's a little bit more difficult to cover Adam Humphreys and how quick he can cut in the slot moving around there. So that's a nice safety blanket for Tannehill to have if he's available to go.
And so the Titans can go dink, dink, dink themselves. See?
That's right.
You got to be able to dink, dink, dink back.
That's right. When we come back, Mike Florio joined Darren Dotican Chase yesterday and had some interesting comments about how the Titans may have escaped some punishment from the NFL with their COVID-19 case. We'll get into that coming up next. But first, hope, health, and connection. During these unsteady times, it's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This 6-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter: what is the most underrated Thanksgiving side dish? What is the most overrated Thanksgiving side dish? We'll have some time a little bit later on in the show to debate this. I've got some scorching takes for you, which you're probably not going to appreciate, but that's okay.
Do they involve mushed bananas?
They don't.
Oh, good. Then I can probably tolerate them. I got some real strong
takes.
I think
my feelings
takes.
Are clear on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see. No. Oh, hey, look. I'm looking at our menu right now that my wife just texted me. And once again, thank goodness we don't have banana pudding on the menu. Yay!
You know,
it'll be a happy Thanksgiving in the Rex Road household.
We've made it 47 minutes without fistfighting each other here on the show. That could change here in minute 48.
That Harbaugh-Vrabel video
could be a precursor.
Got the juices flowing.
It really could.
Just go eat the banana pudding.
Just go eat the banana pudding. Go eat.
Go eat your turkey. Disrespectful.
You can let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's the most underrated Thanksgiving side dish? What's the most overrated Thanksgiving side dish, in your opinion? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the text line, Joe, we got an interesting question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, from Tyler in Berry Hill. What do you guys think about replacing Jayon if David Long is out? Any chance they run three safeties and play Hooker as a hybrid linebacker to help cover running backs out of the backfield?
That sounds great until the Colts decide to just throw all that beef at you and just run the ball down your throat, you know? But I think it's a good question. I think in some situations, certainly, you'd rather have someone who can run. And with Hines, like, that's a guy who demands a safety trying to cover him rather than any linebacker. So it'll be interesting. I mean, they've done some of those things with multiple safeties out there, some of those like big nickel or whatever you want to call it packages, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something creative. But I think ultimately you're going to have to be in some situations with David Long, if he's able to play, doing that job, and you probably feel better about it if he's able to play. I know the question is if he's not. you know, with Compton, I mean, that's just not his strength. And another thing is, by the way, we just talked about Adam Humphries being available, which I think is big for the Titans offense, if he is. But on the other side, Jack Doyle was not here, and that's a guy Phillip Rivers likes to throw to. And
noted Titans killer, Jack Doyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Noted former Titan, noted Titans killer, and gives them that tight end element that they really didn't have here. They didn't need it, but that's another thing to keep in mind. A lot of, you know, a lot of just short game coverage issues in this matchup that the Titans have got to be better in that way somehow.
So Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, of course, he joined Jared and the GM a few months back when the Titans were going through all their COVID issues back in the early part of October, and caused a storm with some of the comments he said about maybe some harsh punishment coming the Titans' way. He was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and explained how the Titans may have convinced the NFL that no wrongdoing was in fact done. Here's what Mike Florio had to say.
Do you think the Titans did convince the league when it really looked bad? It looked like they were, you know, blowing through stop signs, ignoring protocols, all of that. Do you think they convinced the league that no, we were trying to do the right things here, and it's not as bad as it looked? I mean, because I think the league completely did a 180 when it looked like they were pointing all the fingers, and then maybe they decided to look in the mirror and more. Well, maybe we need to make some adjustments with the protocols.
Let me take it a step farther than that. And I have extensive experience with and knowledge of the way the league has botched investigations in the past, the bounty scandal with the Saints, Deflategate with the Patriots. I believe, based on my own experience and based on what I've heard from others, specifically as it relates to the Titans, that the Titans were able to put together enough proof of the league botching the investigation of the Titans to get the league to back off. That's what I believe happened. I don't know that to the point where I can say it definitely happened, but it doesn't surprise me, because in the past we've seen the NFL botch investigations, and there's a theory making the rounds through the same people who were led to believe that the Titans were going to get whacked, that the Titans must have come up with something that they presented to the league saying, go ahead and whack us, and this is what we're going to argue on appeal, and it's going to make you look like essentially a bunch of Keystone Cops.
So that was Mike Florio yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase. Joe, when you hear that from Florio, what's your reaction going back to the Titans COVID case that the NFL was investigating here in Nashville?
I think key words there were must have. So he's got, I mean, the Florio stuff earlier, but during the thing, he had the most, I think, and it remind me of exactly what it was, but he had the most, I think, eye-popping quote, right? He was talking about historic,
yeah,
right?
Historic. Hammering punishments, yeah, for the Titans, yes.
I still, from everything that he's reported to me, sounds like other GMs, other teams who think this is going to happen or think it should have happened. So now it's they must have had this. That didn't sound like him reporting that he has a league source saying the Titans showed this and this is how they were going to. I mean, it's an interesting theory. It may be true. I think that it's more, and this is just me speculating too, I think it's more the public sentiment around the time of, are you sure you want to bury someone right now and then you want the rest of the year to go on with everyone saying, yeah, we'll comply? I mean, we're all in this together. I think it was more that. Maybe he's right. But it just sounds to me like, again, other teams who are like, they should get crushed. And I'm like, man, they must have had some naked pictures on them, you know? I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily true. I mean, maybe.
Florio said yesterday with the guys, though, that the NFL was the one telling the teams that the Titans were going to get hammered. That wasn't just thrown out there, that the other teams hoped they would or think they would, that the NFL was telling other teams that this is the expectation of our punishment of the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, certainly, I mean, first of all, I mean, Charles Robinson basically told us along the same lines, but it was still kind of the same thing, right? It was not necessarily from the league, but we know the league put the thing out with Schefter, right? So we know the league was at least either it was, it's probably all these things, like defending its own protocols / getting people prepared for a punishment and really trying to make the Titans look bad, with that initial story that Schefter wrote to put it out there that, hey, they've done some this and this and this. They haven't done it all right. We also know the league had this video session where they showed pictures and they basically embarrassed the Titans, okay? And so everybody else saw that too. So the league, so yes, I mean, the league put it out there that there may be something coming, but I haven't heard the league said, we are going to do this and this and this. They're going to get a draft pick. You know what I mean? It was never a specific thing. It was sort of like, we might hammer them. I also think there was some of it out there, and like even our guy Mike Sando had his story, which was a lot of it was just like, man, they better get hammered. You know, they better get crushed here. I mean, obviously we had media people saying they should never play football again.
And we like talked about too. During the time of the anonymous sources coming out in Sando's article about how, you know, for other GMs and executives around the league, I mean, who knows who that could have been. It could have been like the Colts GM. And of course he wants the Titans to get hammered. Like,
right.
It's all about sure. The competitive part on the field.
Yes, exactly. So it's interesting. I mean, maybe it's true. Maybe the Titans said, hey, we've got this, so you better watch it, you know? But I do think there has to be at least a pretty significant factor here of what's the benefit for us in this whole slog if we crush them. And of course, now if I'm a Raiders fan right now, I'm like, but then you pop us for the draft pick after all that. But clearly the Raiders kept doing the same stuff. So it's interesting. I mean, obviously it was a surprise. I mean, there's no question that there was some info coming from the league to teams that this could be serious, and then they changed. I don't know if it was a complete 180, but it was certainly a change because it seemed like they were getting everyone prepared for that.
It did, and I think the NFL, without coming out and really saying it, you could tell that they realized during their investigation with the Titans, when you think back to the Saturday traveling to Minnesota with Shane Bowen and the Vikings not really knowing what's going on until after it's happened, like the protocols were not good from the NFL, and they haven't really come out and said that since then, but you can tell with some of the actions that have taken place in the NFL and how they handle COVID cases now that they learned from the Titans instance. So it's not like they were completely blameless in this, and I think they knew that at the time.
Exactly. Right. I mean, the idea that the Vikings would not be told anything, like I still could make the case like the Titans could have like thrown a text to someone, but it's the NFL. It's the NFL protocol. I mean, and that was weak. They had a lot of stuff that they fixed. If they fixed it all, what are they saying? They're saying that they weren't good enough. Also, this week is a really interesting test case too, because you know they do not want to cancel the only good game on Thursday and the primetime game on Thursday that is going to do big ratings. But, boy, there's reason to cancel it.
That's back-to-back days of disrespect from you from Washington and Dallas for the division, NFC East.
I'm sorry. I always forget about the wonderful tradition of Cowboys and Washington football teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a rivalry.
And then the Lions restoring the roar is always a Thanksgiving treat.
Yes.
What Deshaun Watson might go for a number on Thursday, huh?
Well,
he might do some special. At least we get to watch him.
I've seen enough of that Texans team. I don't want to watch them anymore this year.
So are you not going to watch the game?
I'll watch parts of it. I'm not going to sit down and watch. No, I'm not going to sit down and watch the entire Houston-Detroit game. I'm just not going to do it. Okay. Not going to watch much of any of the Washington-Dallas game. Although we'll see the Red Rifle throw the ball around a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll probably watch the Ravens-Steelers game if it happens.
Yeah, I'm excited for that if it happens. If the Ravens have more than 25 players available.
When we come back, the college football playoff rankings came out yesterday, and boy, are there some doozies on that list. We'll react to that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.